Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thank you so much for joining us. I cannot believe that we are in the new year. It's 2018, folks, and I'm hoping that you are ready for that because we are ready to bring it to you for the year 2018 and, if possible, we hope, beyond. We come your way Sundays at 1 a.m., 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., 1 a.m. on Mondays. And then we also come your way via the internet and podcasts at richarddugan.com, the radio shows page. We stream this program live during the broadcast times of the 7 a.m. p.m. Sunday and 1 a.m. Monday mornings. And, of course, we also link to our guests' websites, and we'll be giving you that website shortly so that you can continue your study and research and investigation to continue to be inspired and enlightened and edified. And hopefully a little entertainment. We are certainly hoping for that as well. I have to start out this program only slightly on somewhat of a sad note. I have to say that a good friend, I considered her a good friend. She was also our animal's vet who used to come to our home in a big van that had been outfitted for veterinary care. And she had been our vet for a couple of 3 years. She'd actually taken over the business and renamed it. And our thoughts and prayers and all good wishes go out to the family of Tiffany Margola, who Dr. Tiffany, as we called her. She also appeared on regularly on a program that I produced, the Santa Barbara Teen Sports Radio program here on this station. And going to miss her greatly. It was a sudden happening, and I know that we're going to miss her, and I'm sure that our animals, maybe now I can understand why they were so frustrated or so anxious or whatever was going on Sunday that precipitated this. Anyway, again, thoughts and prayers go out to the Margola family and the friends as well. We'll miss you a great deal. We'll be thinking of you, and I think that this program might very well help quite a bit as well for all of us who are still here in this world. We're going to be talking with a very special guest today. Very glad to have her on for the very first time. Jenny Nadler is my guest, Spiritual Anatomy, Realigning Body and Soul. And Jenny, thank you so much for joining us here on the program here in the 2018. You can tell where I broke my calendar and I haven't been able to fix it.
Thank you so much for having me. You know, it's all a continuum anyway. The timeline is man-made, so we could be anywhere.
Yeah.
At any time.
I was going to say, I've broken my calendar and I can't get up. But anyway.
You need me.
There you go. Well, now, this whole aspect of a spiritual anatomy, if one were to pick up a copy of your book and they were just to start to flip through the pages, they would start to actually see images, drawings, illustrations of the human anatomy. And so what's interesting for me anyway is that it leads me to a book that I read many years ago. It was called Joy's Way, dealing with chakras. And what was so fascinating about the book was the fact that, of course, we all talk about, you know, the seven chakras from the base, the root chakra, all the way up to the crown. But this book actually went into greater detail saying that, oh, no, there's not just the seven. At every joint point and in different places throughout the body, there are dozens and dozens, if not hundreds, of chakra points. But they're, you know, not as prominent. They don't get as much attention. I'm wondering if the same thing is true here when it comes to our spirituality and our physical anatomy. What's the connection? Because one is very, very tangible. I should know. I every once in a while will clench my fist and my knuckles hurt. And the other one is not so much. I'm not even sure sometimes when I'm in my soul or connected to my soul or living from my soul, my spirit. What are the connections?
What a great question. You know, that's lifetimes of journeying to discover. For me, my discovery of what it means to live in a physical structure has opened doors and windows that are vast. And because my focus for so many decades has been the physicality and what happens to the human form as we literally use this form in the many, many ways that we ask our bodies to perform. So physically what happens and what happens emotionally that affects our structure and what happens spiritually that affects our structure. And I really do believe that most of us walking around in this body, I can say this, are not embodied. We are not fully present mm-hmm. with the entire truth of what it means to have been gifted this divine structure. In my research, both physically and spiritually in my own body, I have studied a lot of embryology. And when we come into human form, you know, when mommy and daddy's cells, one cell from mommy, one cell from daddy, comes together, and we begin to really create a form, it's really fascinating because we come from light before we become a structure. We come from light and we come from hundreds and hundreds of thousands of years and stories that came before us that now land in a human form. And so what fascinates me is as I unravel my own structure and how muscles are wrapped and confused around bones, eventually causing pain, and all of the bodies that I work with, what really strikes me again and again, and I have so much empathy and compassion, is that as space is made in the structure of the body, in the floor of the pelvis, which is where we land and where mommy and daddy's cells multiply, and the first structure in the human body is formed in the pelvic floor, as all of the opening and letting go starts happening, we start to make an enormous amount of space and connect with hundreds of thousands of years of what came before that's still living in a body. So the spiritual aspect of what it means to travel in human form is what really fascinates me.
I know that I have talked with people over the years who will describe certain, that they'll connect certain physical diseases and or disorders with other certain emotional and or, I guess you might say, spiritual upheavals, if you will, you know, challenges that we happen to be facing. They, you know, the liver is, you know, that's, you know, maybe I think I remember, it deals with anger and your heart deals with that, and your spleen and your pancreas and your kidneys, the basic organs. Is there something, is there indeed something akin to that? Maybe even when you, even like I was saying earlier, you know, when I clench my fist every once in a while, you know, I feel a little pain in my joints, you know, because I'm 57, you know, I have that in my DNA or my, I don't know, heritage, arthritis or whatever. I don't know. Maybe it's not arthritis. Maybe it's something else. I mean, all in all, I'm still pretty doggone healthy. Or if I was to start listing some of the maladies that I have, you could say, well, but that's associated with this. You need to, you know, maybe take a supplement for this, for that particular organ or that particular part of the body, or maybe get some acupuncture, acupressure, chiropractic, cupping, Reiki. I mean, the list goes on and on, you know.
I know it's been my full-time job, just managing me.
Yeah, I realize. You know, the phrase that we've heard many times, especially guys, you know, about sometimes about the women that come into our lives. And sometimes they say she's high maintenance. Guess what, guys? We're pretty damn high maintenance sometimes too. I can attest to that fact. So I step aside from the sexist commentary there to say, look, it applies to all of us because we're all trying to, in addition to find our place in the universe, there's no question about that. A lot of times that's hard to do when we're just not, we're not there. And there are a lot of reasons why. Well, you know, obviously, as I shared at the front end of the program with the passing of a dear friend of ours, certainly we start to go through these certain emotional, I'm going to call them emotional dark forests, so to speak, or valleys, emotional valleys. When in fact, for me, because transitioning is such a big, it's a subject that I love discussing and talking about and dealing with on this program. That I start wondering, okay, what is, for example, in this case, Dr. Tiffany, I wonder what she's doing now. I know she's not Dr. Tiffany. That's the name that was given to the body. Mm. But I wonder what's happening? What's going on? And I remember when one rather prominent evangelical fundamentalist passed away about 10 or 15 years ago, the only thing I could come up with at that time, I wasn't curious about what he was doing. My thought was, well, at least now he knows the truth. You know, well, which is the case for all of us, that hopefully, I'm assuming, because I haven't been there and come back, mm-hmm. although I'd like to, you know, we hope that we would get all the answers that we're looking for in the other realm. I don't want to say the next life or the other world, because it's been told to me that there is no other world. They're just all of these layers. Mm-hmm. So what about... These aspects of our spiritual anatomy, you've been through your own challenges in your life that have actually brought you to the place where you are these days, that you work with people in regards to what making that reconnection, if you will, or in the case of the subtitle, a realigning the body and the soul. It's kind of like almost like what I might do on the screen in sound editing. When I receive audio from two different sources, but they were communicating with each other, and what we wanted to do, they were talking on the phone, for example. I did this once where I was conducting an interview with someone, but I wanted to have a better quality from the other end. So I had him in a studio. They recorded his audio, sent it to me, and then I had to line it up so that our voices, you know, the questions and answers matched up. And so... I kind of feel the same way in terms of what you're doing, in terms of realigning the body and the soul, because maybe we're slightly out of phase, or, you know, the body is maybe 2.5 seconds faster than the soul, or vice versa, that kind of thing. Can you can you help to describe how we get out of alignment?
You know, that word alignment, Richard, it's vast. And I could speak and feel how I'm out of my physical alignment in structural form. And that's really important to know, because I'll go back to what I said, is that the first place that we enter a human structure, where the consciousness, the divine, call it the divine consciousness of light, of life, the light, enters, is in the pelvic floor, in a place that grows very, very quickly in moments to become what's called the perineum in the body. And the perineum is in the floor of the pelvis between the anus and the genitals. So when you're talking about chakras, this is in the base. This is where the light lands. This is the embryology of consciousness in the body. And so in physical alignment, coming in with thousands, hundreds of thousands of years of karma, of stories, of lineages, that I am embodying literally in my cell structure. So I come in and I'm not this newborn newborn babe. There are the lines that connect each and every one of us to spirit. And yes, we come into our parents and our grandparents, and in each of our households, we have the specific lineage that we are taking on. But when we embody, when we come in to human form, and then, you know, we grow and we're born and we take our first step as a child. We're two-legged beings, so I'm going to speak about our structure. And then I'll connect how being out of alignment causes havoc in the energy fields. And if there is confusion in the energy fields in the spine, then I'm not receiving all of the energy that I need that feeds every organ system of the body. And that's what I want. I want as much energy coming from the base of the spinal cord, where every nerve ending is, that feeds every organ system. So the very first step we take as a child, being a two-legged being, and we weren't always a two-legged being, this actually in the hundreds of thousands of years of evolution, is a new development. When we were four-legged, we were balanced in our structure. I mean, you speak about you have animals. You look at dogs and cats. They use their front limbs. We don't walk on our front limbs. So we have to depend on two legs and ask ourselves to walk evenly, which in Western industrialized society, most of us do not. Other cultures squat. Other cultures use their physicality in a much healthier way than we do. Other cultures don't sit at desks at computers all day. Other cultures don't text all day. That's just our current lifestyle. Not to speak of the Industrial Revolution and when we became a machine age, what we did to confuse the structures of our body and literally change the position of our pelvis. So if we're not aligned in the floor of the pelvis, and your listeners, you can really look at yourself in a mirror and see if your low back, your sacrum, the lowest part of the vertebral column, is pushed forward, then all of those nerve endings in the floor of the pelvis at the base of the spinal cord are literally congested and tangled and tucked underneath. And so when you ask about physical stories that evolve, can I say that heart disease has anything to do with physical alignment? Cancer? I cannot tell you that 100%. I am positive that what we have going on with our illnesses in the organ systems has everything to do with this. But I know that it is definitely true that when we congest and contract in the floor of the pelvis, some things are not getting fed energetically. So in my own history, I must have been 11 or 12, when my mother announced to me, because she would sigh all the time with anxiety. And I asked her, "Mommy, why are you sighing so much?" And she'd say, "Anxiety." And you too will know about that. And we all have heart disease in this family, Ginny. You too will have heart disease. And I remember thinking to myself, whoa, this is crazy. I'm a kid. But very soon what I realized in the gift that she gave me with those words is that I have choice. I don't know how I'm going to keep my system open. I don't know how I'm going to deal with my fear, because she came from a very fear-based life, as did her lineage. But that was a gift. There was something in that that said, I don't think this is true. And so what I know, as my mom lived her life and had heart disease, is that she wasn't dying of heart disease. That's what the medical industry labeled it. Mm-hmm. She was dying of closing off her heart. Mm. And what I said to her was, you're not dying of heart disease, Mom. You're dying of a broken heart. And one little tear came down. And I said, and? And she said, it's a Pandora's box. I can't open it. I can't open it. I said, it's too frightening. What would happen? And she said, I die. And I said, well, that's ironic, because you've closed off the energy field of your body, literally squeezing, contracting everywhere. And this is what's killing you. And she got it. She, at the very end, she got it. And it was very touching. And she gave me the most enormous gift my whole life, because I always said, no, there must be another way. There must be another way to deal with my fear. And I came into an extremely violent home, so there was a lot of fear and a lot of contraction and a lot of ways in my own body that I caused physical situations. Mm-hmm. So the spirituality, the physicality, the emotions, we can't separate any of it. They all come together in this physical home that we embody.
It's along the same lines of that wonderful 60s phrase heard around this country by young people who finished high school. No, Mom, no, Dad, I'm not going to college. I'm going to travel the world and try to find myself. And of course, as we all know these days, you don't have to go anywhere to find yourself, because you're right there. I don't mean literally in a in a material sense. you know, we just need to go within. I know that's somewhat trite, but it is true. So I want to ask you about that whole aspect of, in that context of trying to find ourselves. That's this aspect of realigning the body and soul, and getting things back into balance, if you will, or harmony. I mean, I've heard so many different wonderful terms and words used to describe the different aspects of trying to get the mind, body, soul, and spirit, if there's a difference between the soul and the spirit, emotions and so forth, in alignment so that we can live a life that we can enjoy, that we can actually thrive in, you know? I don't know about you, I'm only 57 young years old, and I'm tired of surviving. I want to thrive. I want to live, and I want to enjoy what I'm doing while I'm here. So can we talk a little bit about that in terms of, that concept of finding oneself?
Mm. Oh, a question I have is how courageous are we actually to find ourselves? And isn't that a pretty amazing question to even have to ask? How come I have to find myself? Where did I go? Where did I become separate from the truth of who I am? And how soon after I became embodied in structure did I actually go away? And why did I go away? Because if we have to ask that question, I do believe, and I know in my own being, and I'm older than you are, by a decade.
Okay.
So if I have to ask myself that question, and believe me, I have asked myself that question, because I knew I was not fully embodied. And I would venture to say, I won't be smug and say, gee, now I'm embodied. Because the mystery that we possess in the realms, and you spoke to the realms, we live in all of these realms at exactly the same time. But when we come into a human form, we're kind of locked in and become separated. I mean, this is a pretty dense structure
and
that
somewhat,
we inhabit.
Somewhat confining, too, I must say.
Yes, definitely confining. I mean, you look at young kids running around, and, you know, I was taking my hike the other day, and this young woman with her dog was running and throwing the ball at the same time. And the dog and the young woman are running, and I'm looking at them, and I stopped and I said, I can't do that anymore.
Oh.
I can't move my structure as freely. She was flying. I mean, literally, she was leaping in the air with that dog.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we age and we're so unaware of how encased we are, and this, as I said, as soon as we come in, we're encased and separated. And I'm fascinated by this separation. We're separated from ourselves. We're separated from each other. We only have to look out in the greater picture and fabric all around this home that we live in, the planet. You know, people even say, well, we're destroying the planet.
Mm.
We're not separated. It's not the planet out there, as if I'm sitting on the moon looking back at Earth. I am the planet. The reason there's so much discord is because there's discord within me and the people. We're separated. We're separated from our climate. We're separated from the earth. We're separated from each other. We're looking at each other. You know, I'm not like he is. I believe this.
Mm-hmm.
So when did we become separated from this spiritual, if you want to call it, whatever word anyone wants to use, divinity, universal energy, universal knowledge? How come? And the collective trauma, not only the personal trauma that I carry this lifetime, the collective trauma that families carry, that widen that out to communities, to the world of the collective trauma. We are witnessing that in mass. And I do believe in every age we have witnessed it. I believe because we're more awake now and we're more willing to take deeper looks. People say, wow, I don't think in the history of our world it's ever been this crazy. I said, no, it's been pretty crazy. We've always had wars.
Mm-hmm.
We've always killed each other.
Mm-hmm.
We've always not valued the sanctity of life.
Yeah. And all
and the
forms.
Only way that could be true mm-hmm. is if I do not value the sanctity of my own life.
There you go. We're talking right now with Jenny Nadler, author of Spiritual Anatomy, and we're going to continue our conversation with her here in just a couple of moments. Wanted to let you know that you can go to her website, which is corebodywisdom.com, corebodywisdom.com, and get further information about how to realign your body and your soul. And we're going to talk more about that if we can, Jenny, as we continue here on the program, because I'd like to maybe get some specifics if we can in regards to how to begin that process. Because you've created this one wonderful technique, SRI. We'll define that when we come back from the break. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Stay tuned. And welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. And we're in a new world. It's called 2018. Yes, indeed. And we're coming your way here in the first month of January 2018. That's going to be a hard one I'm going to use the word grok. It's going to be hard to grok for a few weeks to get through my mind, get through in my mind that we're in a different time. But nonetheless, it is one that is a good one. I think it's going to be a good year, and I think that things are going to go quite well for each one of us. And that really is where we're coming from. And my guest, Jenny Adler, Nadler. Jenny Nadler is the author of Spiritual Anatomy, and that's kind of what we're talking about here, I think, Jenny, is trying to get people off on the right foot, so to speak, as we enter a new year in this case. And, you know, people, you know, they'll make their various resolutions and so forth. I don't make resolutions anymore. Now, I made some promises to myself at the beginning of last year. And for the most part, I think I fulfilled all but one of them. And as I began careening towards the finish line of 2017, I started to start feeling badly about not having even gone anywhere near that particular promise. But I told myself that, you know, if you really wanted to have accomplished it, you would have. So you can set it up for 2018 if you want, or let it go and just finish it whenever you decide to finish it. But this whole aspect of as we were talking in the last segment near the end there about thriving versus surviving and finding oneself. And I mean, I really did like the fact of what you said. If we're, you know, as far as if we're asking that question, you know, it's like, well, what's really going on here? In terms of realigning the body and the soul to get to a lot of these wonderful places we'd like to be, because we do live in a dualistic world and, you know, we swing back and forth physically, mentally, and emotionally, what are some of the initial benefits, if you will, or results or signs that we might be able to see as we begin this process? And I'm assuming that this is using what I referred to going into our break, SRI, which is the Structural Realignment Integration that you created. First of all, tell us about that SRI.
It's all since our main confusion in our human structure. And most people listening to this will say, well, yeah, I've got low back pain, I have lumbar pain, you know, I have hip pain, knee pain. Where our distortions begin is in the pelvis, right? We're little kids and we're walking, we're learning to walk. We favor one side more than the other. So structural realignment, and then once we realign and have to integrate the new positioning of the pelvic floor, that's what this is all about. So because when I look at someone who comes to me for the first time, no matter what they tell me, I've got this terrible neck pain and I've had it forever, or I'm just about to go into a hip replacement, or I'm having a partial knee replacement, or I had a knee replacement, I want to see the position of the pelvis in relation to the legs, in relation to the spine. Because if there is not enough space between the legs and the hips, and not enough space between the pelvis, the pelvic bones, which is, you know, like a pretty big bowl, mm-hmm. it's shaped. If there is not enough space and the upper torso is literally sinking, gravity is sinking the upper body into the lower body, squashing, distorting those lower discs in the spinal column. So the first thing that I'm interested in is, am I standing on two legs? Is this person in front of me standing on two legs? And to be honest with you, Richard, I've not, in our society, Western culture, had anyone come to me, and I've seen thousands of people in classes and workshops and private, that is standing on two legs evenly. So given that this is what we've been born into, it behooves us to really understand and feel, gee, am I pushing the base of my butt under my legs? And am I pushing my long bones in my thighs into those big, thick muscles that are covering the thighs, the quadriceps? And if I tuck my tail under and those leg bones move forward, which of course they do, then I sink into my low back. And your listeners, and you're probably seated, and you as well, Richard, what you can do right now is, you know, when someone says, oh, I'm like a couch potato, and you sit on the couch, and what happens to your low back when you fall backwards?
It pushes back. I mean, it just goes out, away from
you. Yeah. And so if I let that happen right now, and I just say, oh, I'm just going to relax my low back and my butt into the back of the seat, my upper back is completely rounded. My head is kind of falling into my upper torso. My shoulders are rounded. And my feet, I can feel the floor, but I'm not in the floor. I'm separated from the earth right now. However, if I move my pelvic floor forward, and when I talk about this little area between anus and genitals, that's the most important spot in our body, it's kind of like no bigger than a 1-inch circle between anus and genitals. And in my book, I have these amazing pictures, and I liken this 1-inch circle to a clock face, because I'm very visual and I'm teaching someone else. So you have a clock and I have a clock. Mm-hmm. And 12 o'clock would be right behind the genitals. And 6 o'clock would be in front of the anus. 3 o'clock would be in the right, 9 o'clock would be in the left.
Okay.
So everyone who's seated right now, just ask yourself, look down, close your eyes, and look internally and feel, am I seated more on my right butt or my left butt?
Okay. I'm actually feeling centered. I mean, I'm balanced sitting.
Okay. And now, if you let 12 o'clock lift up off the seat of the chair, what happens to your upper body and your pelvis?
It actually, if I'm correct, it's tilting back and I'm pushing back into the back of the, in this case, a chair.
Right.
And then my upper body starts to lean forward.
Exactly. And this is what you see walking on the street all the time. And this is why you see people in walkers. It's not because they have fallen and broken a hip, the majority of them. It's because they no longer have legs. They can reach out of their pelvic floor. Because what happens when I lean back like this, my leg bones are getting sucked up into my pelvis. There's no room for them to elongate. However, let the front of the perineum, 12 o'clock, drop into the cushion of your chair. Down, down, down. What happens to your low back now?
It comes forward.
Yes. And now I have the opportunity to literally wiggle my upper body out of my base. And now my feet actually feel more firmly into the floor.
Mm-hmm.
When I let my 12 o'clock lift up, my feet actually get very light. This is what happens when we stand. So most people are dropped into one side more than the other. And those very malleable fibers in the floor of the pelvis, they're only, you know, like little strings of muscle fibers made of millions and millions and millions of cells. They're pulled across the body. And they cause us to even droop more deeply into one side, causing the opposite side to roll around and twist in bizarre ways. So this structure that we embody, it's like Legos.
Mm-hmm.
It's like rebar, you know, when you watch a new building going up.
Yeah.
This is us in our structure. And if it's not aligned, the building is not going to last for as many years that we would love to have the ability to walk and run and sit. And I mean, how many people sit on the floor in their 50s and their 60s and their 70s?
If I do, it's going to be for a long time.
Right. And I want to be able to sit on the floor for the rest of my life and have my spine extend out of my pelvis and have the energy flow, because that is what keeps us young.
When I used to walk in downtown Phoenix, where I'm from originally, and I would see a lot of these old guys, because obviously we have a lot of elder adult communities like Sun City and Sun City West to the north and west of Phoenix proper. And I would see a lot of the, not just the walkers, but I'd see a lot of these old guys and, well, gals too, men and women, hunched forward. I even saw one guy here in Santa Barbara who was so extreme. He had to look down all the time. He could barely lift his head. His head was almost parallel to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And he was that hunched over. And I swore to myself I was never going to allow my posture to get so bad that I would get that hump on the top of the back of my back and right. that I couldn't straighten up. I saw too many people like that. And so I'm, you know, for the most part, I'm very careful when I want, for example, if, as you and I both know, we see this all the time, young people walking around on their, looking at their screens and their heads are down, they're hunched forward. And I'm sitting here thinking, boy, I'm going to see a lot of these people if I'm alive. walking around in 10 or 20 years or 30 years, hunched forward permanently, or maybe not permanently, because obviously with what you have to offer here through the SRI, it sounds to me like there is a remedy or a realignment that is available so that you can get rid of the hump.
I work with people in their 60s and 70s who are growing their spinal muscles out of their pelvis, and they are stretching that area in the upper thoracic and then up into the cervical. And then the head has room to move back, so the back of the head can be in line with the base of the spine.
Yeah.
So these kids, I mean, my granddaughter is one of them. There's now a name for this malady.
Yeah.
They're calling it text neck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And these kids are in pain. She will come to me and she'll say, "Why do I have this pain in my upper back, my shoulders, my neck?" And I look at her and I say, "Really? Really? You're asking me this question? Your head is forward?" And she said, "Well, how do I get it back?"
Well, you're young enough. Well, all you have to do.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, and the backpacks.
Yeah.
These children in first, second grade are carrying these enormous backpacks that are destroying their spine.
Yeah.
So not only for us that are in aging bodies, but young ones are starting out much younger than we did in causing the congestion and confusion. And yes, SRI is the method. And if anyone is in any physical query, why is my knee in pain? Why are my ankles? I mean, physically for me, I had such intense sciatica. And I am I'm an avid yogi. I studied in India. I taught yoga for years.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, well, shouldn't that be helping me? Why, as the years go on, is this right hip getting worse and worse and worse, and the pain down the leg? And until I really figured out that I was exacerbating the story with the yoga, because I wasn't doing my yoga correctly, because I did not have a clue where the confusion was actually coming from. So once we learn to make space, then whether you're a golfer or a swimmer, I mean, I worked with an Olympian rower, and I started to work with her body when she was 13 years old, and she was in the last Olympics in Brazil. And she did not have a clue that when she was sitting in that boat, that the base of her left butt wasn't on the seat at all. And the whole right side of her upper torso was collapsing. So when she made space in the floor of the pelvis and can lift her head up out of the right side of the whole spine, her ability to make those strokes and move faster and faster and faster came. So pain is generally what brings us to asking the questions.
Yep.
Yeah. But I would advise, even before pain arises, you know, if you have an interest in keeping your body fluid and open, knowing your alignment, because without it, you're creating distortion and shortening, and then the energy can't flow.
Yeah, that's funny. You, as you were sharing that, I had this image of my father. Now, both of my parents are still alive today. But one of the things that struck me the last time I went to visit them, and this was back in June, actually, celebrating their 61st wedding anniversary. And I was visiting them and some other folks. And my father, though he's not hunched over, he walks slowly, very carefully, because he has a little balance issue. But one of the things that struck me as this image came into my mind as you were speaking was how short he was. My dad was not a short man as I was growing up, even when I got into my teens and 20s. He wasn't short. But he is now. He's shorter than I am. And not because, you know, he was always 5'6 or 5'7 and I've always been 5'9. It's like I've noticed I don't know that he necessarily has that Benjamin Button syndrome where he's going backwards, but he seems like he's getting smaller and smaller. My mother has always been somewhat on the small side, but she's actually also, and I guess that, again, I haven't studied this. We're actually going to have somebody on the program in not too long from now talking about the whole aspect of the aging process, especially in the latter years, even with people who are still very healthy, as my parents are, for the most part, they are. They go to the gym every day, they tell me, and they exercise and all these kinds of things. And I know my mom, she gets out and goes for walks more often than he does, because, again, his issue with his balance. But I've kind of noticed that. And you said something real interesting earlier, too, that this program is all about giving people choices and knowledge of those choices to help make their dreams come true. But I've always told people, I said, I don't care what circumstance you're in, where you are, what's happening. It doesn't matter. You always have choices. What they are, now that's up to you to find out. And that's why this program is here, because we are trying to give people more and more choices. We have a giant table, a smorgasbord, okay? And we ask people to come and take what resonates with them. Take what smells good. Take a little taste and see if you like it. And if you do, take some more. If you can't stand it, don't touch it. Leave it alone. There's a reason why.
As long as it doesn't have sugar.
Well, we'd like to think that the things that we're placing before people are pretty doggone sweet, and that's why they like them. And it's not habit forming. But I get your point. But it's like I've heard this phrase many, many times with one of the other producers or one of the other hosts of another program I produce. He says, we don't know what we don't know. If you are walking in a fog, following the white line on the shoulder as you're looking down, not texting or anything, you're just looking down so that you don't fall off the roadway, and suddenly the fog lifts and you see a fork in the road that you didn't know was there before, there's another choice. You don't have to go that way. Absolutely, you don't. But you could if you wanted to. There it is. Who knows what's down there? What great adventure you might find. So that's what we try to do here on this program. And it seems to me like it doesn't matter what your age is and or what your condition is. You always have choices. It's just, what have you been exposed to? We're trying to expose folks now to spiritual anatomy and the SRI and helping to realign the body and the soul. What do you define in your perspective as the soul? Is it are the words soul and spirit synonymous? Or from your perspective, does one represent one thing and one represent another? And what are those things? What is your definition?
The soul is that, for me and my understanding, is that which we always are. The soul is our connection to the divine source. And the soul never leaves. That's why death is for me, my concept of death is walking forever. Because I may leave my physical presence. I will leave my physical presence. However, the veils between the worlds are very, very thin. And so soul is, I'd say, It's like the essence, our divine essence. And we come in and our soul is embodied in a structure. We leave, and our soul is no longer in structure. But we are, that's why I really have come to understand that this separation that we believe, somehow we were entrained in our learning thinking process to think that we are separated at any time in our existence, whether we're existing in a human form or we're not existing in human form. Now, when I leave this body, I'm not Ginny Nadler anymore. Mm-hmm. Ginny Nadler was just here for this blip of time. And Ginny Nadler was here for this blip of time to experience her soul being embodied. And what does that soul need to learn this lifetime? And then when I'm free of this structure, what next? What majesty, now that I'm in total freedom, will my soul develop into next?
That's my question.
Yeah, I'm completely fascinated. And what I know, because I'm very, very aware, this was not my first go-around. This is not the first time I landed in a physical structure. And this lifetime, what has become more apparent, I believe, is I am so aware of the lineages and the connections that I came in with this time. Mm. And how my being here now affects changes before me and after me. And so I'm, you know, a lot of people are so terrified of death. Frankly, I find it pure liberation. Mm. If I've done, if I get to that place of my deathbed and I can honestly say, wow, I've experienced quite a lot. I've gifted quite a lot and I've received quite a lot. Okay, let's go. Take the next journey.
Yeah.
Soul free. But while I'm here, Richard, why this work that I do with people, and why I want other practitioners to use it in their practice, anyone who has a movement modality, it's because to be free in the body now and be able to manifest and experience all that my soul has signed on for this lifetime. Use me up. Mm-hmm. But it's my responsibility to take care and know as much as I possibly can how to keep these joints open, to keep the energy moving, how to be able to stand on these two legs for the rest of my life. And I'm an inch and a half taller than I was 15 years ago.
Oh, wow.
I will never get shorter. I will always get taller. And every single person I work with has gotten taller. Because the pelvis is in the right place for the spine to grow out, for me to use the musculature as it was meant to be used on the bones. Mm. So if we don't use a major muscle called the psoas, which connects the legs to the pelvis and the pelvis to the spine, then we get shorter.
Oh, okay.
So why it's so important to know your anatomy, your personal anatomy. Yes, we all have legs and the same musculature. However, to know the way you personally have developed your structure to cause the imbalances and the distortions. So when you say, you know, your parents, you know, your mother is a walker and she can walk, but why did she, is she getting shorter? Is because the leg bones are not really moving through the earth. We need to extend the bones, not on the earth, through the earth. And that's what weight bearing is. And if the pelvis is moved slightly back, like it is in other cultures around the world, then there is the opportunity, if we wanted to do a complete squat like a baby and get up like a baby and use our legs.
Yeah. I can't remember the last time I actually squatted. I usually bend at the hips.
Right. That's why you need my book. That's why there's this whole, the whole section on squatting. Yeah. And because we should be even standing upright, our positioning of our pelvic floor in relation to legs and spine is as if at any moment we're going to bend the knees and begin a squat. Mm. So I have this whole section of getting up and down off a chair. You know, these exercises are they look really simple. Well, I can get up and down off a chair. Well, can you really get up and down off a chair if your pelvis is in alignment and you have to use your legs coming and streaming out of your pelvic floor?
Right.
So, you know, they look like they're simple, and people will tell me, oh, gee, you want me to get up off this chair with my pelvis and my legs where you have them? I said, yeah, I'd like you to try. And it is not easy, and it's a practice of using the muscles that we have not been using.
Yeah, I have to usually use the table and my arms sometimes. Yes. Not all the time, sometimes.
Not all the time, but but it's important to never have to use them. Yeah. I mean, I have older people who will come to me and say, you know, they can't get up and down off the toilet because it's so low.
Yeah.
And they need to have bars on either side because they don't have availability of their legs.
Yeah.
I want my legs for the rest of my life.
Hear, hear. I used to bicycle everywhere. In Phoenix, in my 20s, my 30s, I wasn't driving. I couldn't drive. And then in 96, I had a lens implant to where I could drive. And then in 98, I started driving and rarely, if ever, got on the bicycle to move myself about. And then we moved to Santa Barbara, and I don't do it at all. It's funny. I lived in Phoenix for 46 years, and I bicycled everywhere. And most people, it's a major metropolitan city, okay? As far as radio goes, it's number 15 in the market, you know. To ride in Phoenix, you'd think, and people would say, you're crazy if you're out there riding on Camelback and this road and that road and the other road. I'd be crazy to drive in this town, Santa Barbara, because the roads are so narrow, the cars are so big. And most people aren't, you know, they're not looking out for you, which is, you know, I drive defensively. I look out for myself. But be that as it may, whereas in Phoenix, when I was there back in June, I couldn't believe how wide the roads were. It's like,
wow,
how come there isn't a ball field in the middle of this road? It's big enough. I mean, they were huge. And we're talking about just the major arteries in the city. OK, we're not talking about the freeway. I couldn't believe that there was one road, there was one major street that I remember that was maybe four lanes, five lanes at the most when I was a kid growing up. It is now, if I can mentally remember, 8 to 10 lanes wide. This is a major artery in a commercial area that is 8 to 10 lanes wide. I just was like, wow, this is unbelievable. So anyway, but I loved bicycling everywhere. It was not only great exercise and, you know, and all that good stuff, but it got me from one place to another. And I actually resigned myself to the fact that, you know, this is how I'm going to be getting around the rest of my life. And that's okay. I'll be 65 and pedaling across town. And that's okay. And then technology caught up with me. And the next thing I know, I can see well enough to drive. And found myself one day amazed. I'm looking around going, my God, I'm driving through L.A. traffic in the evening. What happened? How did I get here?
It's insanity. But, I mean, you know, I'm in the Bay Area, so these young people are bicycling everywhere. Berkeley.
Yeah.
I mean, that's their mode of transportation.
Yeah. Now, as far as that particular mode is concerned, obviously walking, I love to walk. When I was having problems with my knees and I had to have little surgery, not replacement. I was more a torn meniscus, so they did arthroscopic to take care of the tears. But it would frustrate me to no end that when I had the time to go for a walk, I couldn't because it hurt so much. It was so painful. And yet sometimes I would force myself, you know, I will take the anti-inflammatories and I'm going for a walk because I want to walk.
Yeah. You have to move your body.
I can walk to the beach in 20 minutes. It'd take me 20 days if I lived in Phoenix. So I love living here. Personal, private, locomotion in that fashion, you know, I'd park the car, sell the car, get rid of the car insurance and all of that. If quite honestly, all I had to do was walk or I could depend on public transportation to get me to and from. If I wanted to take a trip, if I wanted to say go on a vacation, and my wife and I last year at this time, we drove up to Nevada City and back into the Yosemite and then up to Nevada City, put 1,000 miles on the car, rent a car. No big deal, you know. I would love to be able to live in that fashion that I wouldn't need to have some external source. By the way, when I walk, sometimes I'm listening to music or a book, but I have one earbud in one ear only because I want to hear what's going on around me.
Hear the birds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I love listening to the books that I have. A matter of fact, you were talking about life and death and the next life and so forth. And I'm reading this one book. It's called The Impersonal Life. It was actually the print version was given to me by my mentor back when I was 21. And that was a lifetime ago in and of itself. And in it, it talks about how, you know, you think that that there's reincarnation. You think you've lived many lives. But in reality, those are the lives that I created. This is God talking down through history that I'm just allowing you to tap into to learn the lessons that you need to learn in this lifetime. And I got to ponder about that because I'm a pretty big believer in, you know, having lived other lives in the past. But I thought, you know what? That doesn't change anything because isn't the point when we do a past life regression? The whole point is I need to learn a lesson about what's going on in my life today. Why am I doing this, that, or the other thing? So if I tap into another life, whether it was manifest by God and it wasn't one that I lived, or it was one that I lived, the whole point is I'm to learn a lesson. I'm trying to learn something.
Right.
So it didn't change the philosophical aspects there. And that's
because they're all here right now.
Exactly. Well, that's true.
We're living the whole story right now.
And your story is available, of course. You can folks can go to corebodywisdom.com and get more information about Jenny. Jenny Nadler is my guest, Spiritual Anatomy, Realigning Body and Soul. We encourage you to go to her website, find out more. We will be linked to your website as well, Jenny. And before we let you go, first of all, I want to ask you, is there anything that you feel we haven't touched on yet that you feel that we need to touch on real quickly here before we wrap this up? And again, I'd love to have you back. We certainly can continue this.
Oh, thank you so much. It's what I would love people to take away is that don't lose your faith in your ability to have your structure and your body come back to you. Like there, I tell the story in the book. It's not a story. She's a client, and when she came, the depression was so enormous because she's a painter and she couldn't paint. She was in agony and depressed. And when she reclaimed the energy in her body, she was young again. She was able to paint. She was able to move and live. You know, one of the things she said to me when she first came was, "These days that I have, I am wasting." And so if there is anything that someone can get out of what SRI is really all about, is that you can have the tools you need to get back into this home that we embody in a much more open, free way, and have more energy to live an amazing life.
Yeah.
That's all I care about. That's all.
Yeah. You know? Well, David,
I want people to have fabulous lives.
Absolutely. Absolutely. David Cassidy passed away on the 26th of November of 2017. And it's really sad. The last four words that they say he spoke was so much wasted time. That's what he said. That was his perspective, that he had wasted so much time. That he could have done more.
And a question that I've been asking myself very the last months actually is, when I say, "Gee, I'm so tired. Oh, I can't do that now. No, I'm going to take rest now." How awake am I in that moment to when my nature, my being, is not aware of what is really going on? How disconnected am I from the greater nature? My nature from the whole. When I say, I don't know, I'm just not feeling it right now. Mm-hmm. What am I not feeling right now?
Yeah.
And why? So when you remind me of what he said and what this woman said, "These days I am living," she's not present. And she was very sad. And I hear what he was saying. So much wasted time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a blip, isn't it? I mean, it goes fast.
It goes very fast. Yeah. You know, my body might be chronologically 57 years and a half of age, but there's a 17-year-old inside screaming to get out.
Yes.
But is very much aware of the 57-year-old carcass that it's carrying around.
I know. I mean, a couple of months ago, I was hiking in the Swiss Alps.
Oh.
And there I am. I mean, that's my love. I need my body for a really long time because I got to go up.
Okay.
But as I'm hiking and I'm looking around and I'm just saying, "Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Look where I am. Look where I could be."
Yeah.
I need to stay awake.
Yeah. That's the key.
Yeah.
Jenny Nadler, I want to thank you so much for joining us here on the program. It's been a great pleasure to have you on the program. First of all, let me extend an invitation that if you should find yourself here in the Santa Barbara area, we would love to continue this conversation in person in studio.
Oh, that would be fun. I'm just about to drive cross country.
Oh, you. I envy you because we just had on the program a couple of weeks ago a couple of gentlemen who were traveling across country in an old Volkswagen bus covered with stickers. It's called ULA, Finding Balance. And they're telling me about their travels. And I remember about our trip up to Yosemite and Nevada City. How much fun that was. It was I it's like, I want to get back on the road again. So I envy you that journey,
Thank you.
Know, and a safe one at that. And the second thing is, I have three final questions for you, but I want to remind our listeners of your website, which is corebodywisdom.com. That's corebodywisdom.com. Again, the title of the book, Spiritual Anatomy, Realigning Body and Soul. Author is Ginny Nadler. Three final questions for you before we let you go. And again, thank you so much for the time. First question is, who is Ginny Nadler?
That's really sweet. Ginny Nadler is a blessing that has the opportunity to fully be present in her life, should she choose to be, to give all of her gifts.
What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you are doing now?
Well, where I'm going, where this work has been going, is into the world of personal and collective trauma. So what I am most interested in is, as we open up our structure and the trauma that is living in our cell structure is released and revealed, that we can actually tap into the collective and heal on a level that we have never, ever imagined before.
And finally, what is your life's purpose?
The very base answer to that question is to awaken to my divinity, to be the expression of my soul's purpose.
Ginny Nadler, Anatomy, Spiritual Anatomy, Realigning Body and Soul. Again, thank you so much for joining us here on the program. It's been a great pleasure to have you, and we look forward to having you back again, maybe later this year.
Oh, thank you so much. This was quite an honor.
I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love to Lal.